This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Junks, live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Joining us in the 7 o'clock hour, John Orand, business reporter. He's always great on the show. We'll talk NFL draft ratings and more with him. He's on the show at 7:40. But we wanted to touch on an article by former Junks guest. I think he's been with us a few times, Jordan Najani from CBSSports.com. He touched on what he thought the Washington football team did right, what they got right in the draft, and what he thought they could have improved upon in the draft. What went right was filling the needs, the immediate needs for the team by drafting Jamin Davis out of Kentucky and upgrading the offensive line.
I agree 100%.
By plucking Cosme out of Texas, who should compete, if not start, at left tackle. What he didn't like was, I guess, their unwillingness to take a chance on a quarterback, especially late in the draft. He noted that Sam Ellinger, I believe, is the only quarterback picked after the fourth round in the draft, and he thought maybe Washington could take a shot at somebody late. So I guess he thought that was a missed opportunity as far as, you know, maybe getting another quarterback in the building.
I mean, if you're going to take a quarterback late, you're just looking for a backup quarterback.
I agree with that.
And they already like their quarterbacks.
Right.
Again, they think Kyle Allen is better than, say, Jamie Newman or Sam Ellinger or whatever. They think that Taylor Heineke is better than them. Heck, they like Steven Montez.
I still don't believe the Montez. I guess. I don't know where all this Montez hype comes from.
I know. I thought they were out on him.
I don't understand
it. And then I heard that they were devising ways for him to be their Taysom Hill, like their Swiss Army knife.
Like, if he ever appears in a game, I will be floored.
Me too.
I'll be shocked.
Me too.
If that happens.
But that's where, you know, I kind of side with Charlie, where the media and fans – we're getting ahead of ourselves, where they like, I'm telling you, they like their quarterback room for this year.
Right.
They just like it for this
year.
Well,
they did think about making a deal. Rivera talked about it.
It was worth it.
Well, they just said, yeah, I mean, they didn't want to part with the draft capital.
And one thing that I just despise every draft season is, well, why don't you take a sixth-round quarterback? Maybe he'll turn into Tom Brady.
Yeah,
that's
not going to happen.
Insane, because I understand that Tom Brady was picked in the sixth round. I understand every team bypassed him multiple times. Do you know how many other quarterbacks have been picked in the sixth round or later that aren't Tom Brady? Thousands.
Right.
Thousands of those guys.
Basically every other one. Every
There's
other quarterback.
One guy that worked out, yet everybody grasps and points at him every draft season.
Well, look, I mean, if you're analyzing each team's drafts, you look at what, you know, let's just talk about Washington, what they needed, they addressed needs, and that's what they did. I mean, you could quibble with some of the picks. I mean, when we talked before the draft started about receivers, we talked about receivers like Tutu Atwell and Terrace Marshall and guys like that, and they took Cosme, the tackle from Texas, before the receiver. So they obviously thought that was a bigger need, you know. The receivers are sexier positions, but that's not how this team's trying to build. They're trying to build and protect the quarterback and build for the future at that position. And that's what they thought. What they thought that was a bigger need, and their pecking order on their board obviously had the tackle ahead of those receivers.
Right.
And they still got a receiver. They got a receiver in the third round.
Yeah.
So they and in the seventh.
I know, but my point is they could have passed on a better receiver. They probably passed on better receivers to get him, but they decided they wanted to get the tackle.
They felt like, you know what, we've already upgraded at wideout with Curtis Samuel and signing Humphreys to the one-year deal.
So the draft is a very inexact science. Everybody approaches it somewhat differently. It's a total crapshoot in so many ways. This is how they came up with it, and I was really pleased. I thought overall, as a fan of the team, I thought they addressed pretty much all their needs. I mean, would I love to have a long-term quarterback solution? Yeah, but as I've said the last few weeks, those are unicorns, man. They're butt hard to find a Peyton Manning or a Drew Brees.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
I know this is a
low
bar.
Or Tom Brady. Those are, impossible to find.
This bar is low, but as long as the owner isn't strolling in and handpicking the guy that he saw play at Bullis High School, just because he's seen him play and he likes him and his kid knows him, you're already winning. Your process is already light years better.
Well, you know what's interesting is that I remember just a few years ago when McLuhan was here, he was supposed to be the savior, and we all bought in.
Right.
And that he was this scout guru. And
he liked happy hour too much.
All those picks, for the most part, most of them didn't really pan out that great. And I don't know if it was because he wasn't on the same page with Gruden or he was just an overhyped scout.
Right.
But we've been down this road before where we thought, okay, now we have an adult in the room who's going to make the selections. We'll have to see. Only time will tell. But
right.
I thought last year's draft was pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
Well, it helps when you have the second pick in the rounds.
I guess so. But like a guy like Cam Curl, who they picked late, had a huge,
seventh rounder,
huge impact. I mean, that looks like a steal.
Absolutely. I mean, you're lucky if a seventh rounder just makes the team, that's a victory.
Yeah.
If it contributes, it's huge.
Yeah.
If he becomes a starter and a viable starter, I mean, that's a grand slam.
Totally.
Just rarely, if ever, happens.
Totally. So I mean, they've got a good track record so far. On paper, the picks make sense. I totally get why they didn't go after a quarterback. They like their room right now, and they're living in the now. So, I don't know. I mean, certainly you could criticize them. I think Kiper criticized them, right, for not going after a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that would be the out. Is there another, besides being frustrated that they don't have their Drew Brees yet, is there what are the position of need? Maybe they could have drafted another linebacker? Possibly.
To answer Cakes' question from before the break, what's one thing they got right? What's one thing they got wrong?
And we don't know.
Only time will tell because we have to see them. Right. There's no way to know.
Talk to us in 4 years.
The fact that they were looking at that JOK kid from Notre Dame, the linebacker, as a potential first-round pick, and he was available there in the second round. And I know that you had just drafted Jamin Davis, but I think maybe – you take him because he's the best player available, and then you really bolster your linebacking core.
But hold on. We don't know that they liked him. The media liked him.
I understand that we don't know. I'm just basing it on most of the analysts had him as a first-round pick.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they thought he was a tweener. And what they liked about Jamin Davis is that he could play all three linebacker positions.
Okay, but Cakes is asking us for our opinion. Our opinion of what they did right and what they did wrong. So
yeah,
I would
say
what they did wrong,
on JOK,
my opinion is yes, draft the stud linebacker there. And then what I think they did right is they added weapons for Ryan Fitzpatrick or Taylor Heinicke or Kyle Allen, whoever emerges as the starting quarterback. We all believe it's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. But they added more weapons, which they needed. Because if you go back to last season, Haskins sucked. But Haskins also didn't have much help.
It's hard for me to say they did something wrong by passing a JOK, and I wanted him to draft JOK. But they clearly indicated that they had a preference for the other guy. So he didn't fit their system.
Well, also, Drab just put this in the hangout, but there was kind of a late health issue that emerged where he has some sort of heart condition that they checked out, and ultimately he was cleared, but it probably makes you uncomfortable to draft somebody.
And every other team, he went middle of the second round. Every other team passed on him.
Mm-hmm.
Although Cleveland traded up for him.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm saying he didn't go first round.
That's all I'm saying. My opinion would be maybe you go after that guy dice with him because he has upside.
You just can't fall into the trap of what all the pundits are saying because half the pundits or more were saying Mac Jones is going number three.
I understand
to the Niners.
That, but answer your own question,
garbage.
Then, Cakes. What do you think they did right and what do you think they did wrong?
That was the
question you threw out there. So what I'm saying is I think they should have drafted that guy in the second round.
But look, they clearly had Jamin Davis ranked higher. If they had Owusu-Koramoah ranked higher, he'd be wearing burgundy and gold.
I didn't say draft him. I'm saying draft him in the second round.
Yeah, but what if he's not a fit? In other words, there was that other linebacker. Where was he from? Tulsa or whatever?
Collins.
Yeah,
yes.
And as Kyn pointed out, he wasn't a fit.
All right.
So even though he was ranked
high,
you can
disagree. What do you think they did wrong?
Me? I don't think they did anything wrong. I think they had a perfect draft.
Perfect.
What did they do wrong? What am
I
going to?
You asked the question.
What am I going to nitpick about their draft?
I think they had a perfect draft. Perfect.
Yeah,
perfection.
I'm having a hard time finding a lot of warts on it.
Well,
at this point,
we just don't know.
Of course, we don't know. They could all bust.
4 or 5 years. Let's talk. I mean, this team, the drafts are always going to show their success or the lack of in 4 or 5 years, or maybe less, three, but. Look, if you really want to criticize the team, you could be where Kuiper is and say they had an opportunity to trade up and get their quarterback. Could they have gotten Fields? Sure. They could have offered a little bit better than whatever Chicago offered, but they didn't want to part with it. They didn't want to part with it.
One thing I did like, they didn't waste a high pick on a running back like that. They said, Jarrett Patterson, come on down. You're a free agent. We're going to put you through the paces. Hmm. I like that. I like spending little to nothing on running backs. Smart. That's how you build your team.
I don't know. Throw it out there. See if people have a beef with what they did.
Well, what do you think they did most right? You think they had a perfect draft, but what did you really love
most?
Well,
I love the first-round pick. I like the second-round pick. I don't know a ton about it, but I like what I've read and what I've seen. I like that they added the receiver in the third round who looks like he's a big play downfield kind of guy. I don't know. I mean, those are the most important picks to me.
Bickle's not going to criticize the team.
No,
in
I
May.
Will. I will criticize him. Of course, I will. I don't love. Here's one thing I don't love. I don't love that the corner that they drafted had zero interceptions in college. Now, you could say, well, they never targeted him. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is, I don't know, maybe he doesn't catch the ball great.
Yeah, but he's silly in the cone drill. Look at those numbers.
Yeah, and he's a big, strong guy who's going to cover big receivers.
Maybe they reached on a tight end who really never produced.
Bates, yeah, but I saw the highlights of Bates. I got sized.
In the fourth round.
Even though it was only one catch per game.
Right.
Right.
So it wasn't a huge production.
So maybe you could have got a more explosive player there in the fourth round. I mean, that's
maybe really
small criticism.
But, I mean, in terms of plugging holes and filling slots – with the young guys that they apparently like, I was pleased.
800-636-1067 is the number. The Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC. Brought to you by the DC Lottery. What did the Washington football team do right? What did they get wrong in the draft? We'll take your calls on that next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Junk's 25th anniversary is presented by PenFed Credit Union. Whether you're in uniform or not, you can apply today at PenFed.org. 800-636-1067 is the number, the Gambit DC listener lines. What did Washington football team get right? What's one thing they did wrong during the draft that went down this past weekend in Cleveland? By the way, I heard the location for next year's draft. Vegas.
Oh, is that right?
Nice.
Maybe we have to make a
draft show.
Draft show.
It's you been know, 20 years since we've done a special draft show, but
it has been. It's been quite a while.
My daughter, my youngest, is going to be out in Vegas for Nationals, and I'm, you know, my wife and I are going to go out there and support her, and we'll be able to go to the matches and everything. And I thought, well, I'll just broadcast from there, you know, because we can do this remotely now, and it's a great flexibility option. But then I remembered those shows are torture. Because you have to do it like from 3 to 7.
7.
Correct. 3 a.m.?
Of course.
So I said, I'll just have to take the week off.
You're not doing that.
I mean, I don't really want to take the week off for that, but I know I'm not getting up at 3.
Have you finalized your lodging situation in Vegas?
My wife has, yes. And I swear to God, because this team tries to do things low budget,
the first option was
the Hurting.
The Excalibur.
The Excalibur.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tahiti Village.
The sexiest poker chips in the land.
No. And I completely rejected Excalibur. I said, we cannot do it. I'd rather stay in the Luxor 100 times out of 100.
Is it a stay-and-play tournament? You know what that is? Where the tournament director...
They force you to stay.
They force you to start playing, stay in a certain motel.
This one is not. All but right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Please stay at the Excalibur.
No,
I remember.
I mentioned it to you. It's one of them related to the MGM. I can't remember which one it is. Okay. I actually think it's not horrible, but the price is really good, probably because they're trying to get customers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right.
There's probably not as many people. So I'll try to get the name of it. But, yeah, so that'll be in June. But, yeah, next year we should do draft shows, but not from 3 to 7 a.m.
Right.
Correct.
We can do Saturday. You can just do the show whenever, right? It starts at noon.
Yeah, but then you're doing like the show on the seventh round.
Yeah,
like,
but you're covering round four through seven.
We'll just do a recap of the first 2 days.
Correct.
You just want an excuse to go to Vegas.
Yeah. How about we just go to Vegas and not do shows?
Right.
That is the top option.
All right, but people are chiming in here. What did you like? What did you think that Washington did wrong? I got no quibbles, Cakes. I
perfect
love the draft.
Very few quibbles at this point.
All right, let's go to Eric in Orange, line one. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Eric, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Junkies?
Hey, man. Eric.
What's up?
So I think they had a pretty rock-solid draft, except for that John Bates pick.
Okay.
That tight end from Boise in the fourth round is a horrible, horrible bad pick. Brevin Jordan from Miami was on the board, and they picked some big, slow ogre tight end from Boise instead of an explosive tight end from Miami who was ranked. A lot of people thought he might be all around better than Pitts because he can block better. That's not true, but he's definitely better than John Bates. That's for sure.
I'm wondering why Brevin Jordan went in the fifth round, because I saw projections of him going in the third, maybe the fourth, not the fifth. I think he went in the fifth round.
You know what? I have no idea.
There must have been an issue with him.
I have no idea, but it certainly seems like Ron values like conversations he has with the guys, answers the guys give. You know what I mean?
Like that was the story about Bates.
Right.
Is that Ron got Seiss that he said, well, they asked him why he didn't catch more balls, and he said, I did what they asked me to do.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, so, and I feel like Ron put a lot of stock in that. And I'm not. That's not to say that Jordan said the wrong things, but if you said the right thing, it seemed to up your stock. Now,
they were probably
right or wrong, but
they were probably looking for certain attributes from that guy, that tight end, because he's bigger than Jordan. Now he's not the athlete that Jordan is, but maybe he's a better blocker. You know,
6'5", 250. He's a big dude.
Yeah, Jordan's not 6'5", 250. I don't think.
Right.
But you know, he's a speedier guy, but maybe he's a better blocker.
Here's one thing I'm reading right away that I don't like on Brevin Jordan. Okay, yep. Ready? I would not want this. Excessive body catching. and bobbles.
Yeah, I don't. I like hand catching. I like catching the ball out here, not here.
There you go.
Not a reliable option when a catch is contested. So he might be a great athlete, but if he's a body catcher,
I need a hand catcher.
I like a hand guy.
No, the other guy was only catching one a game.
Well, that's all they throw him.
You can only catch what's thrown your way, JP.
Right, he did what was asked.
And let's be honest, in Washington, Logan Thomas is going to get the lion's
share.
Okay?
Right, you're looking for
Matt
a complimentary
guy. Matt Valdez's buddy is going to catch way more balls.
Right.
As he should.
Right. All right, I'm defending that pick. All right, let's go to Brendan.
True, but Cakes, Lowe is not 23.
Who?
Logan Thomas isn't 23 years old.
That's what we call each other.
You know what I mean? So,
if you're looking about 29, 30? What is he now?
I think he's 30.
I think he's about 30.
All right, so he's got another 2-3 years.
So, if you're looking for a younger guy at that position that could fill that need for the next 7 or 8, then
I think they're living in the now. I don't think they're worried about 4 or 5 years from now. I think they're living in the now.
That's why they signed Fitz.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Brendan. In Richmond, 800-636-1067. What did Washington get right, and what did they get wrong? Brendan, what's up, buddy?
All right, so there's a few things that they did really well, if it all works out. One, if Landon Collins can buy into the Will linebacker, you can't find three faster linebackers than Davis, Holcomb, and Landon. And when they drafted that Benji kid, what it says to me that I like is they're going to go get press corners. They're going to get press corners to give the front four more time to get to the quarterback and surround them with team speed in the linebacker safety position. Because look how fast the Forrest kid is.
Yeah.
Now, what they did on offense that you got to love is the receiver's fast, so they add speed there. And if the left tackle hits, if Sam hits, that's 4 years that we don't have to pay a left tackle more than second round money. And that's money that needs to go to Payne and Allen and eventually Young. So that, I mean, if he hits and he's our left tackle, that's so much better than having some free agent left tackle that we got to pay a bunch of money to.
Brendan, I think it's a really good call. I think it's a really smart call.
I also really like...
Go ahead.
I also really like that they drafted two edge guys in the seventh because their theory is we just need one of them to hit. We need one of them to be a backup out of the two of them because they already have the kid from NC State that can play DN next year for them. So a lot of it was smart.
I agree with you. I think it's a really smart call. The only thing I would say is your original point about Collins, unless I'm wrong, I thought Rivera poo-pooed that at the very like when was it Collins? Which one? One of the two poo-pooed it. I guess it was Collins that poo-pooed it, right? One of the
what,
two
moving to linebacker.
Yes. Now I can't. Now I'm confused and I'm losing confidence.
I don't remember. I don't remember who poo-pooed it.
And as far as the caller's point about re-signing all of the defensive guys, even if you do have a left tackle making second round money and he pans out, I don't think you're going to be able to re-sign all of those guys. I don't think you can get Allen, Payne, Young, and Sweat all under contract. Somebody's got to go.
And, yeah,
I mean, you have a salary cap, and you have to fit underneath it at some point, right?
EB, it was Landon who kind of poo-pooed it.
Yeah, Landon didn't want
to
do it. I'm
sending you a link to an article. I mean, I guess it was March.
Right.
In March, he just said that he denied the possibility of moving from safety to linebacker.
Right. But that doesn't mean, if the team asks you to do it, you got to do it. I mean, what are you going to do? Not play?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to James in Manassas, line 3. 800-636-1067. What did they get right? What did they get wrong? James, what's up, buddy? James, are you there? We lost him.
Don't think James is with us.
Yeah, he said drafted well for needs, and I agree with that 100%. It's interesting that he said that about the seventh-round picks, because if I had to quibble, those were two picks that I didn't quite understand.
What would you have done?
I don't know. Maybe
more wide receivers.
Maybe another linebacker. I was actually a little bit surprised that they took two receivers.
They took a linebacker in the seventh round.
Well, I think they have him more as like a DN type, my understanding.
Who knows? They're seventh rounders.
I was a little surprised that they took two receivers because I thought that they're pretty, you know, happy with their receiver room. I mean, I think it's a pretty good room, but they're clearly trying to upgrade it and add competition.
Well, you're also adding to the practice squad, so you need some depth there. Guys get banged up, you got to pull somebody up off that.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's why they drafted those guys.
I probably would have drafted, if I had to do anything, a linebacker more like the fourth round, like another one. More depth that you can, that you were thinking is going to make the team. But, you know.
I always like adding pass. If you get pass rush from anywhere, I don't care where you get it. If you can find it in the seventh round, you add that depth to your team.
Right.
If they can make it.
Would you float a contract out there to Ryan Kerrigan? He's still out there, right?
He is.
I don't know.
Depth?
I was thinking about that the other day. Is this a situation where Ryan is just sitting on some offers and he just doesn't like them? Or is there truly no interest in Ryan Kerrigan?
Market might be dried up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't tell me there aren't teams out there that couldn't use him at a very low salary. Does he think, I just don't want to put that wear and tear on my body for a low salary? Or just pride getting in the way? Or are there literally no offers for Ryan Kerrigan? It's really weird. He can still play.
I think there'll be an offer for him.
Yeah, I do too.
Who knows? Might be back here.
Yeah, I heard Danny going through some of the names of free agents that are out there, and there are a bunch of guys kind of like Ryan Kerrigan, pass rushers, who are still available. So maybe that market heats up later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Ryan, when in limited opportunity, showed almost very similar to Ryan Zimmerman. You know, that you keep these guys healthy and fresh, they can still produce at a pretty friggin' high level. You know?
And you play them sporadically.
Yeah.
You know, they're not every down guys or every day, you know, every game players. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's going to be a ton of free agents that these teams are looking at. I mean, you got to go out there and sign guys.
You know what I found interesting?
You know who else is available? Trent Murphy. You could bring him back.
I think he had a pretty good year last year.
What I found interesting is just looking at the local schools, Maryland only had one guy drafted, and that was the Funk kid.
Jake Funk.
Yeah. I think we may get him on the show, right? We got his number. We should get him on at some point.
Efforting.
Yeah.
Or Drab is efforting because I just passed it to him.
Yeah. I feel like
you like it when Sean McVay calls your number.
Yeah.
The
Even
Rams,
if it's late
yeah.
in the draft. It's a good thing.
I think Funk can make a roster.
Is he a Damascus kid?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think he's kind of like the pride of Damascus. Like, everybody had very fired up about him. But normally, Maryland has, like, a bunch of guys that... Actually, Funk was one of those combine freaks. I think he actually killed the combine.
He did.
Yeah. Maryland always has guys that kill the combine. Yeah.
In a couple years, Damascus is going to have a kid who's called, like, in the first five or seven picks when Brian Breezy gets selected out of Clemson.
From Clemson, yeah.
That dude is a monster.
Well, he was the top player in his class, too.
Yep.
Was he a freshman this past year?
Yes.
Yeah.
And did he have an impact?
Yes.
Sure.
He did. He did. As I don't remember, you know, hearing his name called, but I wasn't paying attention. So did he start for them or what, Cakes?
Oh, yeah, he started.
He did? Wow.
Yeah. As a true freshman at Clemson.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
That's amazing. For sure.
All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by longtime friend of the show, John Orand, reporter for the Sports Business Journal. We'll talk ratings, we'll talk NFL deals, and more next with John Orand here on The Fan. Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's our pal John Orand, reporter for the Sports Business Journal. What's up, John? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, John, before we get into any of the media stuff, I got to say the response from Caps fans, everybody tweeting us at Junks Radio. I think you're a Caps fan. Did you see what happened last night there with Tom Wilson?
Yeah, I only saw the replay of it. And I'm not a huge hockey fan. I wasn't quite sure how dirty it was or what. It seems like it was dirty. It seems like a suspension's coming on that, right?
Right. Yeah, it's looking
that
way.
So many people are just saying, all fights are dirty. Come on.
Which is true, I guess.
Maybe on some level, but yeah, it's hard to defend some of it, to be honest with you.
So
especially
John,
with him.
John, earlier we were talking about kind of the disappearance of FP Santangelo on the Masson broadcast for Nationals games. What, if anything, can you tell us about the situation?
Yeah, how weird is that? The most bizarre part of that is that everybody has really shut up about it. So nobody knows what's going on. Nobody even knows if he's going to be back to, tonight for the game. I have never seen anything like this for a major league franchise where all of a sudden you had to get somebody to fill in for somebody who doesn't appear sick. If he was sick, I would think he would say so.
Yeah.
And they had to call somebody who was sort of sitting in their living room to come and do the game, on Saturday and Sunday. And then
our guy
calling.
TP, who did a great job.
He did a really good job, and he ended up calling one of the all time games in Nationals history with Scherzer pitching a complete game right before the birth of his son.
Right.
Yeah.
All I know is there's something there. There is a story there. It's highly unusual. It stinks of a suspension. I don't know if it is or not, but I don't know what could have possibly happened. It's a very bizarre situation.
John, how do people in the business view Masson, the network? How do you view it? How do other insiders view it?
You know, Masson is a it's been good. Baseball telecaster, baseball productions have historically been, pretty good. Not among the best, not among the worst. But they just went over the last offseason over a huge cost-cutting move. So, up in Baltimore, they got rid of
cut everybody.
Everybody. Gary Thorne, the play-by-play. I mean, those telecasts, the production value of them really have gone down, and they get made fun of in some areas because if you look at their graphics, I mean, the graphics packages really matter in the business. They haven't updated the graphics in probably a decade, and the graphics get updated every like 2 years or so in most areas. So they're a small independent regional sports network. They cut costs where they can, and I think that we're really starting to see that this year.
Which of the three rate the best?
By the way, did I dodge that question well enough?
I think very diplomatic answer. I think it worked.
which of the three?
Well, I mean, when the draft is on, I mean, who all has the coverage during the draft? NFL, ESPN, right? Is that it?
NFL for the NFL draft. Yeah, it's ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Right,
and surprisingly enough, ESPN came in with the most viewers for that one, and ABC was second, and NFL Network had they did okay on day one, but their day two number was one of the probably the lowest in a decade.
I think that falls off big time after the first day, right? I mean, the first day there's so much excitement. I mean, I guess it's been a net win to extend it to 3 days, but. It seems like certainly by the third day, I'm like over it.
Yeah, the numbers still come in okay for the third day, but this is all about day one and day right. one, especially this year. You had that run on quarterbacks. You had a bunch of players that people knew. More casual fans knew, and then you had Schefter's report about Aaron Rodgers.
Right,
and, that drove a ton of tune in for day one because it was like, wow, is this guy going to get traded today? Nobody kind of knew what was going on, so it was this, everything sort of working together. The NFL people I was talking to at the NFL, they were expecting numbers to drop off this year pretty significantly, and last year they set an all time high. They didn't come far from that. They dropped off a little bit from last year, but not nearly as much as they were fearing.
Wow, just incredible.
Talk about Amazon's deal with the NFL. I mean, I think it's an 11-year agreement.
11-year agreement. So from through 2033, if you want to see a Thursday night football game, you're going to have to stream it via Amazon, which is significant because it is the first NFL package that is exclusively digital. So that's really significant.
You know what I love about that, John, is a guy like Lurch, who's completely not tech savvy, won't be able to find the game.
I won't.
It's going to make me so happy.
I will not find it.
Yeah.
Just get a smart TV, Ricky.
Yeah, but you got a dumb user, so that hurts.
Yeah, you got a dumb owner.
You'll find it by year two, right?
Yeah, maybe. But I'll have to have somebody, like one of my tech buddies, come over and show me how to do it and walk me pace by pace.
Well, when the Washington football team plays, it'll still be on local TV. So the participating teams, the local markets, is still going to be on local TV there. But what I find interesting is Amazon is it's so unique, it is a completely unique deal. But the Thursday Night Football package, it's going to be a worse package than it already was. I mean, Fox moved a lot of games, a lot of good games, from Sunday afternoon onto Thursday in order to try to beef up ratings on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Amazon's not going to be able to do that. It's the worst package of all of them by far.
What, how do you mean? You could look at the games, you could tell that they're not interesting?
So on Thursday night, you always have to have one. Each team has to be represented. And the NFL isn't going to put its best games on Amazon. It's like comparing Sunday Night Football to Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football will never have the same quality games as Sunday Night Football. And now you have an Amazon package that the expectation is those games are going to be even worse than what we're used to seeing on Monday Night Football. I mean, I've been jokingly referring to it as sort of like the Jacksonville Jaguar package of sorts. You know,
wow.
They're going to OD on something like that. So it's not going to be great games over there. It's going to be hard to get to, and all the best games you're going to be able to see on traditional television. So, Lurch, you're fine until 2033, because all the good games of the NFL are
going there you go. I just want to be alive in 2033.
Yeah, that's all we're asking for. We're joined by John Oran from the Sports Business Journal. So you throw out 2033 when that deal is up. Like, by that time, do you foresee the streamers taking over networks, as far as like the better packages are going to go to the Netflixes, the Apple TVs, like the Hulus are going to jump in and try to force out the networks? Or do you see the networks always having a place at the table when it's broadcasting NFL games?
I mean, who knows that far in advance? But the one thing that really gives me pause about that is that, how do these big tech companies, and you have, you know, Google, you have Apple, you have Amazon, potentially Facebook, how do they plan to make money off of these packages? It makes a lot of sense for the TV networks for how they make money. It goes beyond just ad sales. They convinced the cable operators and the satellite distributors that they needed to pay more and more and more for these channels because they had great content like the NFL. And so they were able to get all that money in there. Amazon Prime, they already have more than 100 million subscribers. They're not going to add to that. Nobody, they might be able to raise the price of that a little bit, but the idea that big tech's going to come in and they have deeper pockets in the networks, but the idea that they're going to come in and outspend the networks is something that I really haven't seen yet happen in any sense. I mean, hockey just did a deal. It's all TV. The NFL deal, you know, it's just the worst of five packages that went streaming. All the deals that have been coming out, baseball's doing the deal. There's no digital component to it. So it certainly hasn't happened yet. In 2033, they might find a new revenue stream to do it, but I'm at a loss to figure out what that might be.
John, have you been paying attention to, like, sort of the local ratings for the Caps and the Wiz? The Wiz were dead. I declared them dead, and for the first time in my career, I said, I'm pro-tank. It's over. And then they immediately almost immediately go on a run, and now they're compelling. How are they rating?
You know, I haven't dove in. They were dead. The early ratings were miserable, and they were down significantly.
Right.
I haven't checked in, but I've been reporting on this for a while, so I suspect they have two superstars. They're winning, and they're playing an exciting brand of basketball. I expect that the ratings have rebounded and then some for this team. I mean, especially after last night, and you know, it was leading off, you know, Sports Center last night. You know, the game and what Russ Westbrook did.
Mm-hmm.
So I have. have to imagine that they bounce back, but I haven't checked in on them or the Caps, and the Caps are reliable. I mean, they're always among the top of the NHL and doing well on ratings.
Do you pay attention, since you're in the business of sports? All right, we have all these pay-per-views on all the time. UFC does one once a month. But what the Paul kid does is, like, next level.
I love it. I think it's incredible. It's the start of a trend right now of these like YouTube stars and trying to build these pay-per-views around them, and it brings in money for everybody. And I know that everybody, all the big pay-per-view companies and all the big media networks are taking a look at this and to see what else they can do. The one thing about the Paul brothers is they actually can box. I don't know if they're professional type boxers, but they're not tomato cans out there. This isn't like celebrity boxing. So there's actually a bit of a sport that you're having. And if they can get some old guys, like when they had it with Mike Tyson, and who did Tyson fight? I forget.
Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah. You know, if you can get a second fight on the card like that, that one did great, you know, in terms of pay-per-view sales. And so that's a model that people are taking a look at and people really want to do.
John, thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you again soon. That's John Arand, reporter for the Sports Business Journal. Give him a follow on Twitter, @Arand_SBJ. Talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
I think Jake Paul's fight against Ben Askren, if it was Jake, sometimes I get confused between Jake and Logan, but whoever fought Ben Askren, I think had well over a million buys.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Killed it.
What were they charging?
I don't know, maybe like 30 or 40 bucks. I don't know. Drabby would know. Is it something like that, Drab? Something like that?
Yeah, I don't think it was like 70.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was like maybe half price or something.
They probably had 10 million illegal streamers.
Right.
Speaking of fighting and pugilism, we're going to talk Tom Wilson from the Caps when we come back. As a Caps fan, can you defend what he did last night on the ice at Madison Square Garden? We'll take your calls on that next, 800-636-1067. We're the Junks. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.